Hello, everyone. This is a special episode of People Behind the Science, and we are here in beautiful Denver, Colorado at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. And I'm excited to introduce you all to our guest joining us today, Tina Martinez, Director of Partnerships and Program at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. Now, Tina is going to tell us a little bit more about her role at the museum, some of their exceptional science communication and outreach initiatives, and how they go about engaging their community here in Denver, Colorado. So to start off with, Tina, what is the mission of the museum and how does science communication factor into it?
The mission of the museum is to be a catalyst and ignite a passion for nature and science. And it's an incredible mission, and it really is helpful in thinking about science communication because it moves us from sharing content and expertise to providing experiences that get people excited and spark that curiosity. And so that mission guides everything that we are doing, whether it's here on site or it's going into communities and connecting people.
Excellent. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your own background and maybe what you love most about your job?
Sure. My background is not science. And so I am fortunate to work in a place where I can ask many, many questions and learn and go deep on a lot of different topics. And it's one of the reasons I've loved the museum since I was a child. I've always been interested in exploring and engaging in different types of scientific activities. Interestingly enough, what we've heard from our community, and I can certainly relate to this, is when they hear the word science, a lot of times they go right back to their high school biology class and the experience they had there, or they have an image of somebody in, you know, a white coat that feels very distant and unfamiliar to them. And, you know, just exactly what you're doing, the people behind the science, to be able to understand that science isn't those images. It's really about the exploration, the understanding. And that's what I love about my job, is giving people that opportunity to take, you know, whether it's cooking or it's looking up at the sky or taking a hike, being in nature, all of those things open the door for curiosity for science itself.
And I mentioned in our introduction that you are the Director of Partnerships and Programs here. So can you tell us, what does this type of role at the museum entail?
You know, my role, I have the opportunity to work with a lot of the staff that are on the floor and doing that communication every day. And we have people who have their PhDs and, you know, are also actors and have an education background. We have a diverse group that's connecting every day with individuals. So my role is to be able to support those individuals, make sure that they have the information and the very best tools available to them, the training, the expertise in the room to have those conversations with individuals and make connections and really be those science communicators.
So you mentioned some of the fantastic people that you get to work with across different roles here in the museum. Can you tell us a little bit more about the people who work here?
We are very fortunate because we have an incredible team that is in all areas of the organization. So we have our curators and researchers that are scientists, but we also have performers who have their PhD. We have educators who have studied science all of their lives and are really passionate about communicating that with people and students in ways that are understandable to them.
So it sounds like you have people working at the museum with a variety of different backgrounds who are able to communicate science with the public. And I think that's awesome. And it seems like it would be a great asset for connecting with different people.
It's interesting. We're very fortunate to have a great network and our own staff that are doing research, incredible science, are passionate about the work that we do. In fact, that's one of our values, is we are passionate about science, and we see that at all levels of the museum. And thinking about how we take that passion and bridge it with the community and meet people where they are, both figuratively and literally, and for all different audiences. You know, we see 1.9 million people a year at the museum, and they come from all different backgrounds and age groups and their own knowledge and experiences. And so it's a fine dance to think, how do you connect people and make what we do really relevant to them? And it's really thinking back to those values and making sure that we're giving them a place to bring their own expertise and bring their own ideas and understanding and share and then respond to that.
Certainly. And now, in terms of everyday life at the museum, what are some of the responsibilities of your department here?
I think a lot of times when people think of museums, they think about the collections, they think about the exhibits, they think about those static items. And what we do and what I'm, you know, our department does is we bring it to life. And we have people who are there, scientists, educators, performers that can connect people and make those things relevant to them just by asking questions. And we see every day our educators who are so skilled and talented at connecting with the three-year-old in the room and, you know, their parent, and at the same time having really great conversations with the people who know a lot about the science and want to know more.
We've mentioned now a few times this idea of connecting with and talking to people. And I know you connect with people in a lot of different ways, both inside and outside the museum. So can you expand on some of the other exciting areas of communication you've been working on?
Sure. Part of our work over the past few years has really been asking people what they imagine from the museum and what is meaningful to them. And we've learned incredible values of what people are really seeking. And it's everything from they feel very connected to nature and they see nature as a bridge to science, to their feelings about science, to how they want us to show up and how they want to interact and learn, bring their own expertise, feel like they're immersed and integrated into all of the programs and experiences we're offering.
And as I understand it, the museum doesn't just serve the people who walk through the doors here, but you're also looking at innovative ways to really bring the museum out to people in the community. So can you tell us more about these initiatives?
So one of the things the museum has really been working on is thinking about how we connect with people who might not ever come to the museum or have any interest in the museum. And part of that is figuring out how we take down barriers and make them feel like the museum is something that belongs to them and a place that is relevant to them. And we do that through partnerships. We have great celebrations. We're bringing in trusted community partners. And that's been highly successful in bringing in more diverse audiences. But we also recognize that for some people, coming to the museum is a barrier in itself, and that we really need to go to them. We can't expect everyone to come to us. And if we want to connect with people, if we want to create those experiences, it's going to be by going to them in their neighborhoods and at places that they're already choosing to be.
I love this. And I think it's such an important step in getting people excited about science and supporting science in our society today. And I think in addition to reaching these wide audiences, there are many challenges in science communication for large organizations like the museum here. So is there a particular challenge that your group is really working on now, or maybe a certain area of science communication that you're really focusing on?
We have a wide variety of programming that we do, and again, a very diverse audience. And so you have people who are coming from, you know, birth to 99 years old with all levels of expertise and understanding and interests. And so we offer a diverse options around programs. And so, you know, we often will connect scientists with our programming. And one of the challenges is people come with their passion, and it's balancing that excitement and passion, which can be contagious, and that desire to really help people understand everything they care about, and missing that opportunity to make the connection about what they care about, what the audience really wants.
Definitely. Well, and you mentioned connecting with people of all ages, and I imagine that engaging children is a really big focus area. So I know you have some fantastic programs and activities to get kids excited about science and really bring the museum to them. So can you tell us about them?
We do, and I'm really excited about this. As part of our work to connect with more people, we have been on a journey of talking with schools and teachers to think about how we revamp our school programming and how we show up in classrooms, and we've received great feedback. And so we have all new programs that are rolling out to schools based on the great foundational science we have in the museum, but putting it in the hands of the students so they are going through their own challenges. They are acting as paleontologists or creating their birds to understand flight, and being able to really put them in the role of problem solvers and collaborators and to have real world experiences. And so those programs are rolling out right now, and we're excited about that. And then we're exploring other options. One of the things we heard from community is they would love for us to show up in a way that might be like a museum on wheels, as an example. So we're exploring that opportunity as well.
Well, we've touched on this idea of connecting with different audiences. Can you talk a little bit more about how the museum really makes this connection and really gets people engaged in the science?
I think that connection can come in many different ways, and thinking about format. So, you know, in a podcast, that connection may be storytelling and asking questions that help people think about their own experiences and apply what they're hearing in a way that's relevant to them. But when we have the opportunity to connect with people directly in a live setting, it gives us the opportunity to let them do the science. And so we use the example of a heart. You could tell somebody about the parts of a heart, or you could let them hold it and dissect it and hear their own heartbeat or feel their heartbeat. And that just brings it alive in a way that's more memorable. It makes it more relevant and makes it feel like, you know, they have a greater understanding at the end of the day than what you might have done just by telling them those parts.
And you spoke about that one of the things the museum is doing is going out into the community and talking to people and getting their feedback and ideas. So what does this process look like and how does it work?
Sure. Our new initiative of going into communities starts, like all of our strategic planning, by talking to people. We're doing focus groups. We're really going into communities. In fact, just next week, we'll be out in 5 different communities asking questions about how people want the museum to show up, what they care about, and sometimes not even asking about the museum, asking about what are the experiences that are most memorable and meaningful, and then taking those learnings and building that into what we do every day. And so we've done this process with schools. We're looking at, as I mentioned, a possible mobile museum and thinking about how we could do rural tours and take vehicles out to different neighborhoods, fairs, festivals, libraries. There's many opportunities with that. And then the third component that we're just starting to explore is the community. And how do people want us to show up? And it's not coming in with any preconceived notions or trying to make the programs or what we've traditionally done fit. It's really stepping back and listening to what people enjoy, what they want, how they spend their leisure time, what's meaningful and memorable, and then creating the programming and the experiences that match that.
Oh, that is phenomenal. So for groups out there who might be interested in doing more of this type of community engagement and having the community be more involved in the things that they're working on, what are some of the tools or resources or strategies that you use to collect information and insights from your community?
Mm-hmm. We're using a variety of tools in having these conversations. One example is appreciative inquiry. And what I love about this model is it goes into communities, again, not with a preconceived notion that we're here to fix a problem, tell us what your needs are, tell us, you know, what the problem is. It's really going and saying, tell us about your most, you know, memorable experience. Tell us about your assets in your community. Tell us about what you care about, and then building on that. And so it's really recognizing the audience, the community, as the experts, and building on that. It's a different approach than what I think museums have traditionally done. And then we're also using tools like design thinking, which takes that opportunity to do empathy interviews and start in a place of hearing what it is that people want, and then continuously going back to check our understanding, prototype different activities and ideas, and get ongoing feedback before delivering a final product.
Now, for these conversations, are you writing notes or making spreadsheets or doing recordings of the actual conversations? How are you collecting this information and really putting it together?
It's all of the above. Okay. So we are recording. We're very fortunate to have a talented in-house evaluation team that is capturing all of these focus groups and analysis and research that's happening, the empathy interviews one-on-one, and compile all of that so that it's not just about a single neighborhood, a single program, or a single experience, but really our learnings across the museum and how we apply all of this information to every new experience that we develop.
I see. And this may sound like a a daunting process to everyone out there. So how do you get started on this type of thing?
I think the very first step is just listening, really understanding and empathizing with the community that you're hoping to connect with, asking the questions about what it is that has been an exceptional experience or opportunity or program or product for them, depending on what approach you're taking, and then building on those values and lessons to create your own experience. And then just, you know, the most important step is going back, not assuming after you've heard something once, you've got it, but continuously to collaborate, co-vision with the community throughout that process.
And can you tell us, where does your role fit in with this community connection process that you're doing?
So in my role, one of the projects I'm working on is really making that connection between the museum and the community and being out there to really do that appreciative inquiry process and bring that information back to our museum staff, curators, directors, and educators to design programming that makes sense for the community members. And so we are in that process now, and we're continuously going back to the community to really build that bridge.
So are there certain groups or organizations that the museum partners with to help connect you with people in the community?
Yes, and it's so important that we have those partnerships, especially as we're looking to connect with diverse individuals who maybe don't know the museum or don't trust the museum or don't see the museum as a place for themselves. Having those community partners who can vouch for us, who can help build those connections, is essential. And so we work very closely with schools, we work with other cultural institutions, we work with nonprofits on the ground working in neighborhoods, and through those partnerships and connections, we're seeing more and more people look to the museum and open up to the museum and really take advantages of the experiences we offer.
Now, the Denver Museum of Nature and Science is in Denver, Colorado, surrounded by beautiful mountains and nature and sunshine. So can you tell us how the location of the museum factors into some of the activities and what you do here?
That's an excellent question, and it's part of our learnings that is challenging for us, because when you live in somewhere like Colorado, people are very connected to nature, and what we heard is there's no replacement for being outdoors. So as an indoor museum, we have to really grapple with what does that mean, and how do we take that passion for nature, and how do we create these indoor-outdoor experiences in a way that bridges what they're already passionate about and where they are with our mission of creating more passion, excitement, and being that catalyst.
And one thing that many people out there may not realize is that you actually have a number of scientists here working at the museum, and there is an active research program here. So real science is being done right here at the museum. So can you tell us more about the research program here?
Yeah, maybe it'd be helpful to tell you just a story. Just recently we were in a meeting and somebody walked in and said, you know, this is an important meeting, but we just found a triceratops. And so we need to work on an outreach plan, think about how we're connecting the community, and what we're going to do with this information. And so those type of discoveries happen frequently. And our role is to think about how do we bring those discoveries to the community. There was tons of excitement, but what really made it meaningful is that our scientist was able to go to the school right by the discovery site, and the students named the triceratops, which is actually a torosaurus now. At the time, we thought it was a triceratops, yet another discovery once we got it back here and did the research. But that connection with the scientist sharing their passion with students and involving the students, they will always remember Tiny the Torosaurus because they were part of that naming.
Oh, that's awesome. And I really like this idea of making people feel like they're part of the process. You know, the students weren't just reading about the discovery. They actually participated in naming a dinosaur. That's so cool.
I think one thing I really wanted to emphasize is what we've heard over and over, whether it be from students or the general public or people here in the museum, that they want to own and create their own experience. And so, you know, they'll tell us, it's great that you do the demonstration with the liquid nitrogen and the rose, but I want to be up there and I want to put the flour and the liquid nitrogen, and I want to break it myself. And we hear that over and over, that really people want to do it themselves. And we give them opportunities in the museum to do that, and we're really exploring how we do that outside the museum. One example is we have an archaeological site that's near Denver. It's called Magic Mountain. And last summer, Dr. Koons opened up that site to the community and was literally in the backyard of people. As they came on hikes, they were able to see this history that went back 2,000, 4,000 years. And it wasn't just Dr. Koons talking about it. People were able to get on their hands and knees, get into the dirt and dig. And we brought students out, and she talked about this experience and what they were doing. And one student described it as being a dirt surgeon. So making that connection to what they know, it was really impactful and important. And the response from the community was incredible and memorable. People are still talking about it and asking what happened to that research, and feeling like they really contributed to real science.
And I think these hands-on experiences where people are really engaged and doing it themselves are really powerful. And it can really spark their curiosity and get people asking questions and talking about the science. So I have to ask, does your team actually get to play with and try out all these different cool demonstrations?
We do. So that, I think that's probably one of the most exciting things about our educator performer frontline staff roles, is that they are getting not just the information, but they get to be the ones to play with the liquid nitrogen, and they get to go deep on learning about black holes or the virtual reality experience, or, you know, be out in the field with scientists for some of our virtual science academies as an example. So it's definitely a benefit. And being in a museum, it's not just going deep in one area. You have the opportunity to ask questions and learn and go deep in many, many areas. And there's always somebody who is excited to share their passion about those different areas.
So for some of our listeners out there who might be trying to figure out the next steps of their own careers and maybe are interested in working at a museum, can you tell them a little bit about what a typical day in the life looks like for someone on your team?
Sure. And we have so many people at the museum who've just gone through that process exactly. They're very passionate about science. They have that science background, but they also want to find a way to connect with individuals. And so, you know, a typical day in our department is everything from designing, programming, to connecting with community, to performing and being on the floor with the audience, talking to people, or in the community doing that.
Wonderful. Well, Tina, thank you so much for your time today. It has been a pleasure to chat with you and to learn more about the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. And listeners, if you haven't been in to visit the museum yet, you should definitely come check it out.